Lord, we just re-echo that beautiful prayer
that we sang, that you would touch us, that you would hold us, that your love would envelop us here today. Lord, that the words that are shared today would come forth with your loving touch upon them, that they might be received from you, that they might change our lives, change our trajectory where it needs to be. Come and be our teacher, Lord. Take your word and wing it into our hearts, Lord, as the song said. God, help us to hear and receive, and then to go and do. We pray today that you would expose the lies of the enemy, that there may be here in this room today, in our hearts, in our thoughts, and we pray that the truth would ring out with clarity and joy and hope and faith and love. God bless each one, I pray, and help me to communicate your truth. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Welcome to each one today. It's a blessing to be here. Welcome the visitors. I saw Gary and Melissa from New Hampshire are here. Welcome. And all the Scent students from different Scent schools, welcome to you. And I'm not sure who else all is here, but welcome everyone. I asked my daughter to write up a little bit of artwork on the back here for me this morning to illustrate this message. So that's the title, Take Captive or Be a Captive. That's our choice. This message I want to share with you today is about our thoughts. And something that I personally have struggled with a lot in my life. So I'm here to learn and preach to myself today as well as all of you. But I believe it's the truth. And I believe it's a very important thing that we all need to do. The battlefield that we face starts right up here with the things that we think about. And from there, then things go into here in our heart. And then they come out of our life. And so we want to talk about the place where it all starts today. And I just want to encourage us to a purpose to take captive our thoughts. Yeah, that's a biblical verse there. We're going to talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. The Apostle Paul said that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And then he talked about how we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. We'll talk about that a little later, that verse again. But in order to begin this message, I just want to talk a little bit about thoughts. You know, where do thoughts come from? Thoughts are very amazing. Right now, you're all thinking something, but I don't know what it is. We're always thinking something, right? Pretty much. And they're invisible. We might see the results of them, but the thoughts themselves, we don't see them. So here today, you're all thinking thoughts right now. And you've been thinking thoughts this morning and this week. And those thoughts that we think are very powerful things. I want to look at thoughts today as a seed. What makes a seed a powerful thing? Okay. It's got life in it. It can grow, it can reproduce, and even at 100-fold some things. So there's in that tiny little seed, there's an incredible power in there. And a thought is very much like that. A little tiny, tiny thought that doesn't seem like a big thing. Once it finds a place to reside, it begins to take root and starts to grow, and something grows out of it. And I'd like to say this morning, or ask us the question this morning, where do thoughts come from? Generational. Okay? Anybody else? Culture. All right? Very good. Experiences that we've had? The Spirit. Amen. That's what we want. Okay? It comes from our heart and affects our heart, who we are. That's right. Nobody said the one I'm thinking of. What's that?
What we read.
Very good. If we read a book or read an article, that brings some thoughts into our life that we think about.
What we see.
Yes.
And what we hear.
Sometimes you're driving behind someone in a car and they have something written on the bumper, right? Sometimes it's not a very good thought. And I'm always curious because I always want to read them, but sometimes I wish I hadn't have. Because people, you know, and that's a really wicked thing when you think about it. To put something on your car or your anywhere that makes somebody think a perverse thought or a grievous thought or an unbelieving thought, that's an awful thing. So thoughts come from other people. How about the devil? Does he ever bring thoughts? He does. Could we say that every thought either comes from the Lord or from the devil? I think so. I mean, we have thoughts that come out of our own heart, but where did they come from? You know, and are they good thoughts or bad thoughts? Well, the Word of God is called seed. Luke chapter 8, this parable of the sower, Jesus said, the word, the seed is the Word of God. So this morning we want to just look at this for just a minute here. Jesus said, this is seed. How much of it is seed? Some of it? All of it. Can you hold your Bible up? And confess with me. My Bible is seed. It's the Word of God. I'm going to plant it in my life. And it's going to grow. By God's grace. Amen. The Bible is seed. Peter called it incorruptible seed. 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, you're being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. This seed here does not rot. It's not corruptible. It's forever settled in heaven. God said, not one jot or tittle is going to pass away from it till all be fulfilled. And so God sent forth this seed. Now, how did we get born again? Was it not because some of that seed came inside here? First, it came in here into our thoughts, and we began to think about it. We began to think about what it said about us, that I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need a Savior. Jesus died for me. And He said, come unto me, all you who would be saved. And on and on. And somehow, that incorruptible seed came forth in life in you and I who are saved. It brought forth life. What a powerful seed that is. And turn to me with me to Isaiah 55. We're going to look at this verse where God talks about how He sent forth His Word. Let's look at verse 10 and 11. Let's back up to 7, you know, because it says here, this is a real gospel call that Isaiah is giving. And he says, you know, come, ho, everyone that thirsts, come and get by that which, you know, God's going to give it to you without money. But he says, let the wicked, in verse 7, forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. He said the unrighteous man needs to forsake his thoughts. There's something wrong with his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God said, my word, I've sent it out, and it's not going to come back empty. He said, I guarantee you this word is going to bring forth the fruit that I sent it to bring forth. Isn't that right? And we're all living testimonies of that fact here today. This is how many thousands of years later? His word is not empty. It's doing something in my life and in your life. Praise God. So God sent forth his word. He said it's not going to return void. It's incorruptible seed. So now the question is, how is that word going to have effect? What's going to make that word have an effect in my life and your life? I mean, the word's gone out. But it doesn't affect everybody, does it? In the same way. And in Hebrews it says, in chapter 4, it says, the Israelites heard the word, but it says they did not do what? They didn't mix it with faith. They heard the word, you're going to go into that promised land. I'm bringing you in. And they didn't mix it with faith except for two of them. Instead, they listened to something else. And so that word did not bring forth in those 600,000 men. Only two. They mixed it with faith. They said, God said it. And we are well able. And so that is what happens. God's word has effect when it's mixed with faith. And it's like when we mix it with faith, then something is conceived. Something is birthed. Something is started. That's going to be a beautiful thing in God's timing. All right, so God has done this. Now, Satan is called the opposer, right? Satan means adversary. And we know from the Bible that Satan is the adversary of the Lord. Let's look at Isaiah 14. Turn back a few chapters. Isaiah 14. And let's look at verses 12, 13, and 14. These are spoken of Lucifer or the devil. You know, it says in Ezekiel that he was the anointed cherub. He was like possibly the worship leader in heaven, some people have said. It seems that way. But here it says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Instead of worshiping the Most High, Satan said, I'm going to be like him. And one of the ways that he's going to be like him is he's going to send forth his word and see what he can create. So we have the word of God and we have the words of the enemy, the opposer. Both of those words have a big effect whether on our life as to how we receive them. Amen? Satan's words have no life in them, they're death. The people that believe his words, they're in here. That's a cage, a man in a cage. He doesn't look very happy either, does he? This man took some bad seed into his life. And he started thinking about it and meditating on it and acting upon it and believing it and receiving it. And it's not bringing forth very much good fruit. It's bringing forth death. On the other hand, this other fellow over here, he came out of that cage. You know, we're all in a cage at some time, aren't we? Weren't we? We kind of start out in there. And it's when we believe the seed, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, that we get delivered out of that cage. And I'd like to use this kind of as an illustration today. You know, take captive or be a captive. If you don't take captive your thoughts, then you're going to be a captive to them. So that it's not really a lot about choices. Either we take captive our thoughts, we decide, you know, by God's grace and power, what we're going to believe, whether we're going to believe something, and then we're victors through the cross and by the grace of God, or we're just a captive to our thoughts. Our thoughts put us in a prison, bind us up, keep us. And I found, you know, as a Christian, that sometimes I go back there. I believe something that I shouldn't. Some thought lodges into my mind, and I find myself ending up in the prison again. Maybe you all never did that. But maybe some of you are there today. The fact is, all of us here today are in a sense, a product of our thoughts. This week, this day, this year. And what I'd like us to do today is think about our thoughts. And think, is there any thoughts that I've been thinking and believing, planting in here, that I don't want in there, that need to get out? And is there any thoughts that I need to put in and embrace and plant inside my heart? So let's just open our hearts up today to that. Okay, so the devil said, I'm going to be like the Most High. And I think part of that is he said, I'm going to let my word go forth and I'm going to bring forth, you know, it's going to not return to me void either. We could go back to the garden. Let's look at the very first story there where the devil comes in, Genesis chapter 3. God gave a word that was a word of life. Amen? But he did say not to do something. But when God says not to do something, it gives life. He said, don't eat that tree. You can eat every other tree in this garden. I made it all for you. But it says in chapter 3 and verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said you will not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God does know in the day you eat thereof that your eyes will be open and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. The devil planted a seed. He said, God is not looking out for your welfare. He told you not to eat that thing because it's going to keep you from something good. That was a thought. It was a word spoken. And that first woman and man, they thought about that. They thought it over. They had a choice right then. They could have said something different, right? They could have said, whoa, wait a minute. God loves us. He made us. You know, He walks with us in the garden. He wouldn't hold anything back from us. And that thought would have had none effect. But no, they looked at it and they considered it and they embraced that seed of the word of the devil. And instantly, they found themselves right here, stuck behind bars, trapped. They never knew what that was like. They were free before that. But they instantly were captive to the devil. Satan puts thoughts in people's minds to make them his captives. Let's take a look at it. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. The story of Ananias and Sapphira. There's a couple of amazing statements in here. I think probably most of us know this story. People were selling their lands and giving them away to the support of the church. But it says in verse 1, a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Isn't that an amazing statement there? He didn't say, why did you come up with this? Why did you think about this? He said, why has Satan filled your heart? That tells me that the thought that came to them, at some point they sold this land and they had this thought together. You know what? I mean, it's a big property. It's worth a lot. Why don't we just keep back some of it? Because we don't know what's going to come. You know, there may be a rainy day and we may need it. And let's just not tell anybody, but let's just keep it back. So this thought came to them, and it says right here, it came from where? Satan. They embraced that seed from the devil, and it started doing something in their life. But look what it says in verse 4. It says, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. Now, how do we put those two together? He said, Satan filled your heart, you conceived. I liken that to this idea of a seed, you know. The seed came from the devil, the thought. But they conceived it. They took it into their being. They embraced it. And that thing brought a conception. That word of the devil brought forth something in their life that was an awful thing, an evil thing. They conceived it. And that's what I'd like us to think about here today. You know, when we embrace a thought that is not of God, that comes from the enemy, it's like a conception. We're something now is in us, birthed in us, starting. It might be small when it starts, but it's going to bring forth something in our life as time goes on. And sometimes a little thing, a little thought maybe even, seemingly little, you know, that's wrong, that's false, that's embraced, it can bring forth terrible things in our life. When a baby is conceived, it's very small. You know, it's just the tiniest of, you can't even see it, the naked eye. But sure enough, that baby's going to grow if everything's healthy and normal. And eventually that baby's going to grow up and that baby's going to be someone just like you and me. A fully grown person. It takes time, and so does sometimes these seeds. You know, the seeds of the Lord take time too, don't they? Well, one more verse here in John chapter 13. This talks about how Judas, you know, believed something that the devil told him. John 13, the Last Supper here, and it says in verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The devil put something into Judas's heart. Did Judas have a choice in the matter? I believe he did. He received that bad seed that the devil brought to him. And it brought forth terrible fruit. So there's a great battle going on in right now for our minds, for the minds and hearts of all mankind. Satan wants his lies to bring forth the fruit of death, destruction. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. God's word's gone forth, and he said it's not going to return void. It shall accomplish what I sent it forth to do. So the question here today, though, is we're Christians, we're believers. What are we believing? Are we taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ? You know, the Apostle Paul, I believe when he talked there in 2 Corinthians 10, he says, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I think part of what he was talking about was he would go into places where there was no church, no belief in God. They wholeheartedly believed the devil's lies. Right? Lock, stock, and barrel. Everything. They were believing, you know, maybe it was the philosophers, Greek philosophers, or they believed in you know, all kinds of evil things, demon worship and so forth. But he came into these towns, and he was an amazing man by the power of God. He said, my weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds, I think that's talking about thoughts. Wrong ideas, wrong beliefs about God. And he said, I come in and I can pull them down by the power of God because the word of God's not going to return void. And I come and I give the word, and it's a mighty, powerful weapon that I have. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And he says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I believe that was a reality to him when he was preaching. He believed that God's word would do that. Not everybody got saved. There's plenty of places where they rejected him. But he knew there was going to be some. And even in like Athens, where they said, this guy is a babbler. You know, what's this vain stuff he's bringing us? There were a few, it says, that believed. And there was a church there that began. And so the Apostle Paul, he said, yes, God's word is mighty. And I'm going to keep sharing it wherever I go. And it's going to tear down those strongholds and pull down the works of the enemy. And the thoughts of God, the seed, is going to take root in somebody's life and bring forth fruit. And that should encourage us, shouldn't it? As we share God's word, it's a seed that's mighty through God. It's not about our eloquence and our ability to explain everything, but it's God's word that he said is not going to return void. All right. So, what have you been thinking? What have I been thinking? What are the seeds that have been planted in our life? You know, Paul said, and I believe I already talked about the general sense where Paul said, when I go and preach the word, it's a mighty powerful word. It tears down strongholds. But that thing has to start in our own life first, doesn't it? Because we have to get out those lies, those thoughts from the enemy that are wrong. So I'd like to just take a look at some practical examples here today of just some seed thoughts from the devil that are lies. And then let's think about, you know, what does God say about it? And how can we do that which we've been told to do, which is take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ? You know, there's a lot of other verses we could use. Our Sunday school class today, someone brought up the verse. It says there, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. He's saying you got to guard it. You got to guard it. And you know, part of this, my sabbatical, taking my sabbatical, honestly, with you, is I've had my battles, thought battles that I've been trying to overcome, and that by the grace of God, you know, getting rid of that. Those lies and that junk that were discouraging me. And so this message really is coming out of some of those very things that I've had to and am wrestling with and learning to do in my own life. Well, what are some thoughts? You know, here's a thought for you. I have to have this possession, position, or relationship to be happy or fulfilled. Did you ever have a thought like that? I gotta have it. I need this thing. I must have this to be fulfilled. That's one of those kind of thoughts that puts you in the cage right there. Because it's not true. What is the truth? What do we need to be fulfilled? Jesus. That's enough, isn't it? I don't have to have some car, some house, some title, some job, some marriage partner, you know, or whatever, relationship. Let's look at somebody who didn't do real well at this. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 20. We've been reading in the Kings in our family devotions this year. Very interesting. We started in Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2nd, 1 Kings, 2nd Kings, and we're going to, Lord willing, do the 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And it's a little unusual for us because we usually like the Proverbs, but it's been very, very interesting and a blessing. You know, you can learn a lot from the Kings. Did you know you're sort of a king yourself? And the things that were written about those kings are very applicable to our lives. God said we're kings and priests, right?
That's right.
And in a sense, you're the king or the queen in your life. I mean, that's a bad way to say it. You're going to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, Jesus is the king. I know that. But that's our choice as the king of our life is to give that to Him. We have that choice. But look at Ahab here. You might remember this story. God delivered the Syrians into Ahab's hand, and he appointed Ben-Hadad for destruction. He said, I want him killed. And Ben-Hadad goes, he says, look, he walked real softly and gently around him, and he said, you know, these Hebrews, I've heard their God's a merciful God. And so, you know, let's see if they'll have mercy. And so he came to Ahab, and Ahab, sure enough, he did. He made a little deal with Ahab. You know, I'll put your names on my streets and we'll give you revenues and taxes if you let me go. And Ahab thought that sounded like a great deal. Well, the prophet came to Ahab and said, Ahab, it's your life for his life. It's your people for his people. You delivered someone that God appointed for destruction. Well, that was not a nice word that Ahab wanted to hear. And look what it says here in chapter 20, verse 43. The king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased. And he came to Samaria. Okay, so Ahab is heavy and displeased. He's, you know, bummed out. He's depressed. Now, what choices could he make right here at this point? What could he have done? Let me ask you this. What would David have done if that had happened to him? He would have repented. He would have come back to God and said, Lord, I failed. I did wrong. Oh, God, have mercy on me. You know, I need your presence, Lord. That's what David did. He failed a lot. I mean, David was not this perfect man that, you know, we just look at and think he never blew it. No, he did it big time. But the one thing that he always did is he came back to God. So Ahab could have done that right here. He could have said, Lord, I'm sorry. I did wrong. Forgive me. Ahab did do some of that in his life, interestingly enough. But he didn't do it here. And so what happens is now he's got this cloud over his life. You know, he's depressed. I mean, that's a discouraging word that God gave him. That's not a very nice seed to hear, is it? Your life for his life, your people for his people. You're going to die, Ahab. But instead of turning to God, he came back, and it says, it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake to Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near to my house. And I'll give you it for a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to you, I'll give you the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I would give you the inheritance of my fathers. So Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased again because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, turned away his face, and would eat no bread. All of a sudden, his happiness, his fulfillment in life came down to one thing. I need to have a new garden of herbs. And if I can't have it, it's just going to make me depressed. Do you see how one sin that's not repented of sets us up for the next one? You know, and if we find ourselves craving some fulfillment from something other than God, sometimes that's a good place to start to look, you know. Is it because I'm not satisfied in my relationship with God? And the reason we're not satisfied is what? We're not connecting with God. And sin is often is the reason that we don't do that usually, of some type. So that's a lie from the devil. I have to have this certain thing or I can't be happy. Ahab was in a prison because he believed a lie. And it was bringing forth bad fruit in his life. He's a sad story, really, in many ways. Well, let's look at another one. Here's one. This sin that I struggle with is too strong for me. It's too strong. Did anybody ever think that? Is that a true thought? It's not true. I think, you know, when I was a lot younger and I think of humanity, something that it's a strong one that people struggle with, the sin of masturbation. And there it is. I said it in church. But, you know, we don't talk about that much. But in reality, it's a real thing that probably a lot of people in this room have struggled with or maybe do. I know I have in the past. And one of the lies that Satan told me years ago was, you might as well give in. You can't overcome it. It's too strong. You know, there's no way. You might get the victory right now, but you're going to give in, you know, tomorrow or later today or this or that. That's a seed of doubt and a seed that's a lie. What does God's Word say? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Great. What are some other seeds of the Lord? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Sin shall not have dominion over you. There is no temptation taken you but what is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. But He will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's a good seed to plant, isn't it? That's what I planted way back, you know, when I was struggling with that. God said He would provide a way to escape for me. And there were some times where I quoted that just over and over and over again, thinking this isn't going to work. I'm not sure. This is crazy. But you know what? That temptation went away. Praise God. It surprised me the first time it happened. I realized, hey, it's gone. Praise God, it's true. It's true, I didn't have to give in. Did Jesus ever do that? That sin? Never. Was Jesus ever tempted to do that? He had to be. Because the Bible says He was tempted in how many points as us? All points as we are. That tells me that there was times where Jesus was tempted with a thought from the devil. Give in to that sin, Jesus. Go indulge your flesh, Jesus. Enjoy some pleasure. But Jesus said no. Jesus said no. So there's, like I said, that's a pretty, that's a strong lie. Another sort of on the flip side of that is this lie that says, well, everybody struggles with is normal. You know, I mean, everybody I talk to struggles with that. So it can't be that bad. That's another lie. And it's as we take those lies and get them out of our life and replace it with the truth of God, those prison doors have to come open then. And the captive gets out and he stands up now and he's pretty happy, isn't he? He says, glory to God, it's wonderful to walk with the Lord. Praise God for the blood that cleanses me from all that I've done and the cross that keeps me from doing other things and doing worse. Well, here's a thought. I'll share with you this thought that I had when I was a boy. All right, get a little personal here. When I was 18, I used to swim. I used to do swimming practice. I was on a swim team. And we practiced at the University of Pennsylvania there in Philadelphia. And sometimes I'd take the train to go to practice and get off at 30th Street and walk over to the pool, six blocks or something. This one time I got out of the train, started walking over to there. I was 18. This guy comes up to me and hands me a piece of paper. And then he walks away real fast. And I was a little, shocked. What's this about? So I opened it up. I read the paper. Well, inside on this paper, it was an invitation for homosexual activity. Okay? So, I was pretty disturbed about that. And, I was always a pretty sensitive guy, as it was, and still am. But that started to play on my mind. And I started to be bothered. I started to think, why did he give that to me? What did he see in me that he would think that I was interested in that? And the devil began to cause me to wonder. Maybe you're gay. That seed that another human being, through his wicked lust and desire, planted in my life in a sense, I began to struggle with. Like, I didn't really want to be that. But behind that lie was another lie that says some people are just kind of that way. Right? Isn't that what's believed today? Some people are born that way. Is that true or is that a lie? It's a lie from the devil. So, I sort of struggled with girls as it was. I was kind of shy and didn't know how to relate real well. And I just started struggling with that, thinking, and it became a really tormenting thought to me. Maybe I'm gay. Maybe I'm one of those. And I wanted to share that here today because I think the devil doesn't really change his tactics. And in our day, it's even more prevalent than it ever was back then. Maybe somebody here, you've been having those kind of thoughts. Or even temptations. And I want to tell you here today, you're not a homosexual. You're not a lesbian. God didn't make you that way. You may have temptations to that, but that's not what you are. The truth of the matter is, that God has made man upright, but he has sought after many inventions, it says. And whether it's that sin or whether it's any other sin, it's the same remedy of repentance, turning to God. And thoughts can be very disturbing. That really disturbed my life. It was a terrible thing that guy gave to me then. And praise God for bringing me out, I never went into that, but the torment of even the thoughts was a. That kind of thinking is going to keep you in the cage. There's been people that have sat in this church who the devil told him that he was meant to be a girl. People who sat right here. That's a thought that came to that individual. And I remember talking with him. He was troubled and he didn't really share that to that depth with me. I didn't realize that. But what should he have done with that thought? captive. Taking that thing captive. God did not make me to be a girl. He made me to be a man. But instead, he was captivated by that thought. And as far as I know today, he's acting that out. He's living that lie. He's in this cage because of a thought. Sometime in his life, somewhere, that thought came to him for the first time. Right? Somehow, somewhere, he, I don't know where he was or what he was doing, but there, a thought came to him and said, you should really be a girl. And that thought was a seed that somehow got planted, somehow got conceived, somehow got embraced. And today, you know, it's brought forth awful, awful fruit. So it's not a game to play. We have to be farmers that are really watching our seed. I mean, Brother Dale, you farmed. If somebody brought a big bag of seed and just dumped it off at your place and said, look, I found this seed in my shed, you know, why don't you go ahead and plant it? Would you do it? You'd want to know what kind it was. Maybe you'd want to know how old it was. Or, yeah. No, you don't just go investing all that energy and effort and something into bad seed. Farmers know that. And you know what? We're all, in a sense, farmers because we're all bringing forth a crop. It's our choice. We've got some good seed right here that we can bring forth a wonderful crop if we receive it, conceive with it in our heart. It comes into us and we say, yes, Lord. Or there's plenty of bad seeds all over the place that we can embrace too for that. All right, let's keep going. Here's a lie. You'll never change. You'll never change. Is that true? How many of you have ever felt that way? I have. It's not true, though. Now, what does the Bible say? Somebody give me some good seed here. Somebody plant a good seed. Pluck that thing out. We're being changed from glory to glory. By the Spirit of the Lord. Good. The lie is you're never going to change. What's the good seed? We are being changed. What else? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a change right there. I know the thoughts I have for you. Good thoughts. Thoughts of blessing. How about all things are possible with God? Now that's one. That's a big one, isn't it? All things are possible with God. And all things are possible to him that believeth. That means I can change. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's another good seed. A good seed. All right. Here's one. How about this one? Your marriage is hopeless. Your marriage is hopeless. Wrong. Says Elmer. Praise God. Wrong. You've heard that seed before, huh? How many times did you pluck that thing out? Amen. Behind that thought is another bad seed that says, if your marriage doesn't change, then your life is hopeless. Think about that. If your marriage doesn't change, then your life is hopeless. Is that a true statement? No, my life's not hopeless. This life is only a vapor. If I go through suffering, if I go through these awful things, it says it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that we're going to experience in eternity. Listen to this one. Now the God of hope. What's his name? The God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That tells me your marriage is not hopeless. Maybe God's saying something, these bad things have happened to you because of something you did. Job was getting a lot of that seed in his heart, wasn't he? Job, you must have done something wrong because, these kind of things don't happen to good people. The seeds were just coming, dumping on him. The fact of the matter was, he was the godliest man alive, it says in the book. How about fearful thoughts? Let's look at another scripture in Numbers chapter 13. Now, I want you to think, when we read this story, I want you to just consider the fact, beyond the actors in this story, there's hidden actors behind the scenes, right? There's the Holy Spirit, and there's the enemy. Numbers chapter 13. What did God say to the children of Israel was going to happen when they came to the land of Canaan? Anybody? He said, you're going to go in and possess it. I'm giving it to you. That was a seed. That was a good seed. We already talked about the two men that believed it. But these men went in there. And let's just look at chapter 13, verse 27. When they came back with the report. It says in verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, into the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, they dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Said, these people are big and they're bad. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. And they said, the land through which we've gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw there the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now think about the scene behind the scene. The devil heard the Lord say, they're going to go in and possess the land. Who was giving thoughts to these guys, these 10 spies? Was it just their own human fear? I don't think so. No, I think all the attention of hell was focused right on that spot of the earth at that moment. Saying to those people, you're like grasshoppers. They're big. You're going to die in the wilderness. And the amazing thing is it actually happened. They all died in the wilderness. Except for the two who said, we can do it. And the Lord was there too with His seed. Come on, I promise to give it to you. It's yours. Go take it. Joshua and Caleb, they plucked out that bad seed. They plucked out that unbelief and they said, we're well able. We can do it. Come on, let's go up now. The other spies and the other 598,000, whatever it was, 900, and they said, we can't do it. It's too much. They're giants and we're grasshoppers. You see how that seed of a thought, see what it can do to people? It kept them out of the promised land. And it's not that much different today, is it? Do we have a promised land? What does it look like? What's our promised land look like? What was that? The New Jerusalem. All right. Well, amen. That's our maybe our final promise. I'm thinking more of the promised land of today while we're alive. Rivers of living water. That was promised. Jesus said what? He that believeth on me out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's a promise. Lord, help us to possess that. Someone over here said something? Peace and joy that passes all understanding. That's a promise for every Christian. These things are convicting, aren't they?
It's
abide in Him and He will abide in us. That sounds like the promised land. Amen. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. It's a land where the fruit of the Spirit are, right? The love, the joy, the peace. You know, that truly, I think, is, you know, the promise of the Spirit. You shall be witnesses unto me. There's a promise. I'm pretty convicted by all the stuff that we're saying here today. I don't know about you. If we seek Him, He will be found of us. Good. Come that you might have life and that more abundantly. There's so many promises that we have. It's a promise. It's a land. You know, it's a better land than they were promised, don't you think? Because that land is inside of us. And that thing, when it's inside of us, you know, people can't take that away. They can throw you in prison, but they can't take it out. Right? They can take away your house. They can kick you out of your neighborhood, your country, your whatever. But they can't take it, the good stuff that we're promised. So, I hope this is inspiring to us here today to really take a look at our life, our thoughts. Maybe there's some thoughts that the Lord has brought to your mind that you've been thinking. Maybe something troubling you. And you know it, you know, as I'm talking to you, that you know that's not the right way to think, but I'm not sure how to get out of here. I'm not sure how to change it. I'm not sure. You know, sometimes it's just recognizing something and saying, you know, get behind me, Satan. Get out of here, this thought. I'm going to believe the Lord. And that's enough. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it is enough. Maybe there's something wrong. And let's think about here the story of Joshua. You remember when they came up to take Jericho? You know the story. The walls, they shouted and the walls came down. This huge, incredible fortress of a city was taken. Amazingly. The next one they tried to take was Ai. It was not a very big town at all. They sent, I think, 1,000 people or something against it. And they got whooped. And they came back and Joshua fell on his face and he was like crying out before God. And God said, get up. He said, there's a problem here. There's sin in the camp. Somebody has taken the abominable thing. You need to find out. And so they called everybody into this solemn assembly. And they chose, by lot or something, this family here and then this father there. And then it came down to Achan. And Moses said, Achan, or I guess it was Joshua, said to Achan, give glory to God. What'd you do? He said, well, I said, I saw that wedge of gold and that silver and that pretty Babylonian garment. And he said, I took them and I hid them in my tent. And you know the story, they stoned him. And it said there that they could not stand before their enemies. You see what sin does to us? And so sometimes we're caught up in a thought. Sometimes we're in this prison like here. And we want to get out and we want to think a different thought and we're fighting. But if there's a sin that we haven't repented of, it doesn't work, does it? It's like all our efforts to rebuke the devil and get rid of this thoughts, it won't work. Why? Because we cannot stand before our enemies. Their strength was their godliness. You know, the strength of a church, what makes a strong church? I remember talking to a pastor of a church one time, a youth pastor, and he was telling me, yeah, he said, you know what? We got three doctors in this church. We got the owner of the grocery store, the big grocery store in town comes to our church. We've got lawyers in this church. We've got, you know, this, that, and the other. Does that make a strong church? You know what that means? Zero. As far as a church being strong. I don't care how many doctors you have. What makes a church strong is the holiness of the people in that church. And by that I mean where we're really at in our life with the Lord. A strong church is when the members of that church are people who are God-fearing, seeking God, humble, broken. That's a church that the gates of hell cannot stand against. But all this big stuff, big buildings and fancy this and that, that doesn't mean a thing. In fact, a lot of times it actually hinders the strength of the church because people look at that stuff. No, what makes a strong church is your devotion to Jesus Christ and my devotion. And so as we're getting together here today, you know, we're here to encourage each other in that. He's the source of our strength. Being devoted to Him, loving Him with all of our heart, turning away from our sin. We do sin, you know, and we need to repent. So that's a little troubleshooting tip there that sometimes we need. I talked to a brother this week about some struggles, you know, that I had. And his encouragement to me wasn't anything new, really, but you know, sometimes we just got to hear the old stuff again. He said, well, I found that praise and thanksgiving is really helpful. And you know, there's sometimes when that's all we can do. Maybe there's a thought that's bothering us and that Satan's wanting to bind us up in. And you know what? We can't think our way out of it. We can't. But we can just start praising and thanking God. Praising and thanking God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are the answer to my problem. Thank you, Lord, that you're Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, that you're my strength in my life. And there's times where we just need to do that. We enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. You know, David said, there was a time when he said, when I was envious at the wicked, I saw him prospering. You know, their heart is fat as grease. You know, they're making money left and right. They're living good and they're not sick and they're just blessed. And David said, I almost slipped until I went into the sanctuary. And he said, then I understood. See, the thoughts, the enemy was bringing him thoughts at that moment. You serve God and look at you. You know, you got troubles. You've got troubles here and you've got troubles there. You got money troubles and you got relationship troubles. Look at those ungodly people. You know, they're just living it up, man. They're having a good time and they're making lots of money and they don't seem to have any troubles. And the thoughts, it's a seed from the devil. First of all, it's not even true. Don't tell me they don't have any troubles. Their troubles are a lot worse than mine. But David said, I understood when I saw the Lord. I understood their end. It's not a good one. Those folks are not going to end up well. He said, that changed my thinking. We could give another example. Remember when David, they came and they took Ziklag and they took his wives, his children, and all his men's wives and children? And it said the men wanted to stone him. You talk about bad thoughts. You think David had a few of them right there? He was being bombarded with bad thoughts. And what did it say he did? Who knows that verse? He encouraged himself in the Lord. That's amazing. He didn't give in to it. I'm not sure how he did that. I'm picturing he must have gone somewhere and played his harp and worshiped God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He said, God, you're on the throne. He said, I'm not going to believe those thoughts. I'm going to pluck that seed out of here. I can't live with that. I can't live with that thought. And praise God. God said, you know what? You're going to recover all, David. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to come to a conclusion here. I think Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 is a pretty clear command of God of how we're supposed to think. Let's look at that. You know, Paul was a man who faced incredible stuff. When I read about what he faced, I just feel like a spiritual wimp, I guess. Stoned, beaten, tossed in the sea for days at a time, hungry, naked. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Think about things that are true. This is telling me right here, this is our grid work, all right? Everything that is not true has to go where? Out of our life. Unless we want to end up there. If we think on things that aren't true, we're going to be the man in the cage. If we think on the things that are true, we're going to be the man on top of the cage. So, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, think about the true things. Whatever things are honest, think about them. Whatever things are just or right, think about those things. Whatever things are pure, think about those things. Whatsoever things are lovely, and that word, I really like that word. It's something like, it has the word phileo or whatever, that Greek word that means brotherly love. It means whatever words are kind to you, are loving, are friendly to you. If something's not friendly to you, God doesn't want you to think about it. It's not from Him. He said, whatsoever things are friendly to you, think on them. Whatsoever things are of a good report, you know, and that's that has the idea of an omen. You all know what an omen is, right? It's like a sign that something bad's going to happen. Or usually that's how we use it. There was an omen, you know, whatever. There was a black cat that came across, so that was a bad omen. But God says, think on those things, whatsoever things are of a good omen. In other words, they tell you, you know what, something good's going to happen. Something good's going to happen. He said, if there is any virtue and if there's any praise, think on these things. And then he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you. You know, Paul was a living example, sitting in the prison cell, choosing to believe the best, even though he was hungry and cold. And so, as I conclude this message, I just want us to think about the need to take every thought captive. And if we don't take captive, then we are going to be a captive. Your thoughts are going to make you a captive if you're not capturing them. Because our tendency is to go that way, not this way. I want to encourage myself and encourage you all. You know, let's take the seeds of the Word today, and with God's help, plant them in our life, and reject all that other seed, all those other lies of the devil, I guarantee you this is going to bring forth something beautiful and blessed, happy, free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. All that other stuff is going to bring us in the cage. So if you're in a cage today, God wants to bring you out of there. And it may just be that there's a certain thought, a seed of thought that has been planted there that needs to come out, needs to be pulled out and replaced with one of God's. So may the Lord fulfill that to us.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Brother Paul. Maybe some of you have a thought you'd like to express. Plant some good seed. I see two hands, three hands. Yes, let's sow some good seed here. Ushers will get a microphone to you.
Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words are powerful. And also another word that is very powerful is the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And that's my purpose at my work. I drive all over the United States and I love to have my vehicle plastered with the Word of God. Because everywhere I go, it's a word of encouragement. I love to encourage people with His Word. The name of Jesus. And I know it's blessed people already. I've heard it. And I'm excited that it's not my word. I just take His Word out there and share it. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, Timothy.
So just two quick notes that I noticed from verses that were shared today. Hope is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The seed, the Word of God, received in faith, will grow.
Amen. Brother Dale.
3 or 4 weeks ago, I was driving up and down Route 222, and I noticed all these pretty purple flowers in the center median. I don't know if anybody else noticed those or not, but thistles. They got to this beautiful purple stage, and I would say nearly half of the center median was covered with purple flowers. And I thought, wow, now would be just the right time to get that mower in there and prevent these seeds from spreading. That did not happen. A week later, there was a few spreading. A week later, a lot of them spreading, and by now they are probably all spread all throughout the rest of the median that did not have them, as well as the sides of the roads and the farmers' fields and people's lawns and so forth. There's no better time than now to get rid of bad seeds. Bad seeds grow and reproduce. And when they reproduce, there's more of them. If you thought it was bad now, next year is going to be a worse thing. If you got bad thoughts running through your head now, now is the best time to get rid of them.
Amen. Praise God. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So if we sow to the flesh, we'll reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we reap life everlasting. So both are equally powerful, right? So what are we sowing today? Yes, Brother Dwight.
Well, once when my mind was going round and around with it, a thought taking me nowhere good, another thought came to me. Would Jesus think that? And after that, it was very helpful to say, this is not a Jesus thought. Mm-hmm. This is not a Jesus thought. Or this is not a faith thought, because all His thoughts were faith thoughts. And to evaluate my thoughts that way.
It's good. Thank you. Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages,
please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.